Welcome, my friends, to the Generations Broadcast. Kevin Swanson with you today. Bill Jack also in the studio. And as a homeschool father of five, I want to give my children and my grandchildren examples of courage, examples of heroes in an age that is not so heroic. We live in one of the most unheroic ages in all of human history. In fact, the last 30 to 40 years have been embarrassingly bad. And yet there are people who are willing to speak out despite unbelievable pushback, and they are being persecuted. We think of the Christian business people like Jack Phillips and the family out in Oregon that were fined $135,000 for not making a cake. But there's also Bill Watcott out in Canada, who's just recently been fined something like $80,000 for holding up the wrong sign in some political gathering. And apparently that has been sustained in a court of law. So this may be one of the first examples in which a Canadian has been persecuted for a particular position taken, the right to free speech on an issue like homosexuality. Sandy Rios also has been under the gun. Janet Porter, David Barton. David Barton was removed from a political event, I'm going to say 3 to 4 months ago, because of his position on LGBT issues. Mike Pence has also received a fair amount of pushback from the sodomite community. And so these are the folks who have been punished recently by the homosexual Borg. And of course, we had taken our hits back in 2015, 2016, but now it's the turn of Sandy Rios, Janet Porter, David Barton, Mike Pence. Also, Justin Hoke was kicked out of his Bible Presbyterian Church in Northern California just a couple of weeks ago for opposing transgenderism. I think he put a sign up front of the little chapel, "Bruce Jenner is still a man, homosexuality is still a sin." Now, that's not really all that incendiary. That's just stating the facts.
Wasn't
really, you know, he's not saying anything in an incendiary manner. He's just presenting the fact of the Word of God and what the Word of God says about certain politically correct sins for the day. But the response was incredible. I think he was kicked out of his church within, 24 hours?
And it wasn't from outside the church that the pressure came. It was from people sitting in the pews.
There might have been a little pressure.
It was his congregants who made the decision.
But it was
swiftly.
Congregants that made the decision to kick this pastor out of the church. The church should really change its name to Ichabod Community Church, Bill, or Faithless Presbyterian Church, or Powerless Bible Chapel. Any of those terms would be probably appropriate for the typical church that can't stand up to a little bit of persecution in the 21st century. Shame on this church. Shame on this church. Shame, shame, shame. That's all I can say about Justin Hoke's church, his Bible Presbyterian church. He actually was quoted as saying, "The response we're receiving from this sign proves that it was posted way too late. If a conservative mountain farming community is no longer a safe place to call sin, sin, then is anywhere in this country still safe for real Christians?" No, no, no. Nowhere is safe for real Christians. And those who think the church is safe, no, no, the church is going to be persecuted. And if the Chinese church are persecuted at the hands of the communists, friends, don't be surprised if the homosexuals, the sodomites, are going to persecute your little Baptist church, a Presbyterian church out in the middle of nowhere. But one thing is for certain, if you get persecuted, you will find that almost everybody will abandon you. There will be sort of a vacuum that sucks out of the room. He said, what's that vacuum? Feel like there was something of a vacuum that developed in this room. That's everybody leaving about as fast as they possibly can. This is what happens when persecution hits. Of course, Jesus said that we should visit the least of these, his brothers in prison. And that, of course, will mark the sheep versus the goats. I think it's the goats that pull out of the room.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah. I think the sheep will stick around. Yeah. At least that's the distinction drawn on Judgment Day. So keep that in mind, my friends. Keep that in mind. Now it's Mike Huckabee's turn. You notice that just this last weekend. Everybody gets a turn. That's what I notice about this. I mean, it starts with people like us, then Bill Watcott, Sandy Rios, Janet Porter, David Barton, Mike Pence, Justin Hoke. Now it's Mike Huckabee's turn. You know Mike Huckabee. Yeah. He used to be the governor of Arkansas.
Right.
He's now become the latest target of the leftist pro-homosexual media. His interview with the Christian Post apparently is what inflamed them against him. He said gender confusion is the greatest threat to the moral fiber of the country. So that was the catalyst for the attacks. On his TBN program, Huckabee responded to the attacks recently. He said too many modern churches have decided to preach a gospel that just doesn't offend anyone. And then he told his audience, the TBN audience, I refuse to deny God's law. Amen.
Good for him.
Does that give you some encouragement, friends? You need to be encouraged with what's going on out there. There are real examples of courage. And this bill is probably the most refreshing thing I've seen in 50 years of American Christianity.
It is very refreshing for him to say that. And it's interesting because I wasn't a big fan of him and his policies because he seemed to confuse jurisdictions mm-hmm. when he was making policy as governor and when he was promoting policies that he would implement as a president when he was running for mm-hmm. president. But you've got to admire the man for his tenacity, his perseverance, and his boldness in proclaiming mm-hmm. Jesus as Lord.
Just a little piece of trivia. I did the first teen pact in Arkansas myself
some
15
did.
Years ago. And believe it or not, I was in his triple wide.
No kidding.
Yeah, it's triple wide trailer. At the time, the mansion
was under
construction. That's right. And so his wife invited the entire teen pact group into the triple wide
right.
they were living in at the time. So I've been in Governor Mike Huckabee's triple wide, friends. Out in Little Rock, yeah. Arkansas, some number of years ago. And I will tell you that Mike Huckabee, I think, is getting stronger.
Yeah.
It's praise God.
Yeah. That is great.
All right. But there's even better news. We're going to talk about something amazing going on in Australia right now. This is the most encouraging story of the last generation. Friends, you got to hear this in just a moment on the Generations Broadcast.
It's hard to imagine Christian pastors going to jail for their faith, and it's just as hard to imagine Christian businessmen fined $135,000 for not baking a cake in celebration of a homosexual wedding. It's hard to imagine America turning into a communist state that persecutes Christians and rewards the most aberrant. Will Christians just let it happen? Should Christians just let it happen? These are important questions, my friends. This is Kevin Swanson, and I wrote the book on freedom because I wanted to build a case for freedom. A biblical case. A historical case. And let me tell you, the history of freedom is the most inspiring story you'll ever read. Have you heard the story of the Magna Carta, Bannockburn, Leyden, and William the Silent? The American Pilgrims, and the Battle for King's Mountain. How will we fight for freedom in this generation and the next? Well, tell the story first. The story of freedom. Let's leave a legacy for freedom for our children and our grandchildren. Get a copy of the new book, Freedom for Each of Your Children and Grandchildren, at generations.org. That's generations.org.
And we are back on the Generations Radio Broadcast. Kevin Swanson with you today as we come back to the subject of persecution in the 21st century in the Western world. And praise the Lord, there's an example of a man who's willing to stand in our day. Australia's number 4 rugby player, Israel Folau, has been kicked out of Rugby Australia for a message he tweeted about a week ago, in which he said, drunks, homosexuals, adulterers, liars, fornicators, thieves, atheists, and idolaters, hell awaits you. And for that message, he's losing a $4 million a year contract, and this guy is standing up on this issue. He's not backing down. He's getting kicked out of the rugby game for good for this tweet, which, of course, is drawn from 1 Corinthians chapter 6. No homosexual, no adulterer, no idolater, the covetous, etc., will not inherit the kingdom of God. Make no mistake about it. And so, you know, he presents this to a world, a Western world, that still thinks everything's hunky-dory because there's a great marshmallow God in the sky who's somehow going to give them a high five when they, you know, dally themselves into the gates of heaven.
And, you know, listeners should be encouraged and convicted at the same time. Encouraged because here's somebody who gave up his not just his livelihood, but everything he prepared to do with his life. Because mm-hmm. to be ranked number four in the world means you've spent a lot of time in preparation and training, mentally, physically. And to give that up is remarkable. He didn't back down. He didn't try to soften it. He said it, and he's standing by it because he believes that's what God's word teaches, and he's going to proclaim God's word. Now, you should be encouraged by that example and convicted by that example, because too often we easily hold back proclaiming Christ at the water fountain because we're afraid maybe our coworkers will get offended, or we might end up eating lunch alone in the cafeteria as a student. And that is, it's easy to do it in the small things, to compromise. And so when you get to the big things, it's very easy to make a compromise. And he has disciplined himself spiritually not to compromise in the small things, evidently, because he is not compromising in the big things. $4 million gone.
Every year. The post remains online. And on Sunday, this last Sunday, he said he's standing by what the Bible says. And then following his service at his Truth of Jesus Christ Church, he told the Sydney Morning Herald newspaper, quote, "I share it with love. I can see the other side of the coin where people's reactions are the total opposite to how I'm sharing it. First and foremost, I live for God now. Whatever he wants me to do, I believe his plans for me are better than whatever I can think. If that's not to continue on playing, so be it. In saying that, obviously I love playing footy. And if it goes down that path, I'll definitely miss it. But my faith in Jesus Christ is what comes first." Boy, that's refreshing.
It is.
I am so refreshed, friends. This is the greatest hero of our day. He's given up so much.
I'm going to take exception with that, because there are people who make sacrifices of their livelihood frequently. There's the teacher who refused to kowtow to the politically correct transvestite, transgendered language being foisted upon the culture by referring to a female student with a male pronoun. And as a result, because he believes the Bible, he lost his livelihood, lost his job. There is a wall of fame, some of whose names we don't know, some of whose names are very obvious, like this guy, or like a Jack Phillips, or like the teacher, whose name I have forgotten already.
But friends, these are what constitute the greatest heroes in the Western world, where most of the Western world is asleep when it comes to the faith. They have already gone asleep on the enchanted ground. But occasionally there's a man who's willing to stand up and be very courageous, and they're willing to sacrifice something for Jesus. It's hard to find people who are willing to sacrifice something for Jesus in this fat, materialistic, people-pleasing, Facebook-liking age. And 4 years ago, Franklin Graham reminded us that all cowards would go to hell. Christians must preach the whole truth of the Bible and not avoid controversial topics. He said, or we are cowards and deserve hell. He added, those preachers who minimize sin to keep their pews filled and make sinners comfortable in their sins commit an egregious offense against God, who has prepared a lake of fire for those who reject his truth. This is Franklin Graham from a couple of years ago. If we as God's people refuse to speak about sin because it will make others uncomfortable, we are cowards. The definition of a coward is one who refuses to do the right thing for fear of consequences. We are soldiers in God's army, and we cannot stand down on biblical issues out of fear of being labeled a homophobe or a judge. Well, so few people will walk into the fire of tribulation and persecution in this day, friends. They're afraid they're going to get an owie. They're afraid they're going to get an owie, Bill.
Yeah.
It's going to be hot, and like it's going to burn.
Are they going to get slapped on the wrist? Or somebody's not going to like them?
Well, the reason why this sports star, Australia's number four rugby player Israel Folau, was kicked out of the rugby league in Australia was because he offended the drunks, the liars, the fornicators, the thieves, and the idolaters, the Association of Australia. They're kicking him out of the sport because he offended the drunks, the liars, the fornicators, and the idolaters in Australia. No, that wasn't it.
No.
He offended the folks down in Sodom.
Yeah.
How come it's the folks in Sodom that are the most offended?
Because they don't want their sin called out.
That's the politically correct sin of the day.
It is.
It's the most abominable sin of the modern era.
It's the endorsed sin of the day.
Well, friends, Sodom dominates sports today. Sodom rules. Bill, Sodom rules. Sodom rules the university. Sodom rules the sports industry. Sodom rules the media. Sodom rules the news agencies. Sodom rules politics. Sodom rules almost everything. That's why if you stand against the politically correct sin of the day, the ultimately correct sin of the day, like Sandy Rios or Janet Porter or David Barton or Mike Huckabee or Mike Pence or Justin Hoke, if you stand against the Sodomites, you will pay and you will pay and you will pay. And that's where it goes with Israel Folau as well. Well, it's encouraging this brother is willing to take a stand. In our society today, you're going to get persecuted over this issue. If you stand up in a university classroom and you say Jesus loves y'all and has a wonderful plan for your life, you're not going to be persecuted for that, Bill.
Not much.
It's not going to happen. But you stand up and say fornicators and adultery and homosexuality, et cetera, God will judge. And they're going to be grabbing stones. And they're going to be throwing stones at you. You will be honored if you take up the cause of child sex slavery. If you oppose prostitution and support government-sponsored charitable programs in the inner-city churches, you will be honored. You will be at the top of all of the Christian ministries and all the Christian churches and all of the great institutions of the day. The academic institutions will honor you if you take positions against this. But don't you dare take on contraception or homosexuality. Those are the sacraments of modern humanism. That's the citadel of modern ethical autonomy. So Matthew 16, Jesus approaches his disciples and he says, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, and whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it. For what is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? What shall a man give in exchange for his soul? This reminds me of what Israel Folau did.
There is a cost to following Christ. Some pay more of a cost than others, but it doesn't compare to the cost of Christ for buying us back out of our sin.
Mm-hmm.
Everything else is trash.
Yeah,
compared to that.
And you know, if we're laying up treasures on earth, then we're not going to be enjoying the treasures in heaven. So again, my friends, is this something that we need to do ourselves? Are we to stand up and say these are sins? You know, Jesus did with the rich young ruler. He pointed out the man's covetousness. The man went away sorrowful. And he does it especially with the Pharisees, those that are covering their sins and using systems of men like Supreme Courts and Sanhedrins to cover up their sins. We were reading this at family worship just a few days ago. Luke 16, verse 14, the Pharisees, who were lovers of money, heard these things. They ridiculed him. And he said to them, you are those who justify yourselves before men, but God knows your hearts. For what is exalted among men is an abomination in the sight of God.
Mm.
So Jesus is willing to, in the face of the Pharisees, who he knew were not willing to fall down and call out for mercy. They were not of the publican mindset, who are willing to beat on their chest, call out to God and say, God, have mercy on me, a sinner. They were not willing to do that. They were proud Pharisees and proud gays and proud feminists. And Jesus turns to these proud Pharisees and the proud gays and the proud feminists and proud everybody else. And he says, you are an abomination to God. Bill, that's direct. That's non-inclusive. That's judgmental. You'd get crucified if you'd said something like that.
Yep. And that's what's happening to Christians today when they stand up. They're getting crucified. Their reputations are being tarnished, trashed. Their businesses are suffering. Their livelihoods go away. But there is the boldness that you have to admire in Christians who are willing to risk everything for the cause of Christ. And those are the heroes, many of whose names we will never know this side of eternity. They're not famous. They're not celebrities.
Mm-hmm. And the reason they're persecuted is because they stand against the illegal, the abominable activities of the day. The early church was persecuted, Bill, because they stood against state idolatry.
Yep.
On the basis of God's law.
They were persecuted as enemies of the state.
And the church in China also, the churches in China are being persecuted because they insist on Christian education for their children. Because of their Christian schools. Because of their intent to homeschool or to disciple their children. Same thing in North Korea. This is the rub. This is why you receive persecution, because you stand against a world that encourages the breaking of God's laws. And we stand up and we say away with the idolatry. The reason why Paul is persecuted in Ephesus is because his ministry is starting to make an impact on the idol manufacturers in the city. And so as Christians, we're going to be offensive to the world because we take a stand on God's law. And yes, we also stand on God's grace, but we stand on God's law as well. And I think this is sometimes more fundamental. When we stand on God's law and we say, well, we have broken God's laws in this way, but Jesus came to save us from our sin. But if we don't acknowledge the sin that Jesus came to save us from, then we're not willing and able to receive the grace. We're not going to reach out for the grace and receive that forgiveness that he provides for us. So it's the bad news that typically gets us in trouble, but it's also because the world rejects the good news as well. It's our responsibility, friends, to continue to present God's word, God's law, and the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ in the clearest possible terms. And that's why guys like Israel Folau are walking into the fire, and that's why they're losing their position in the area of sports.
But they're gaining glory. They're gaining glory.
Amen. The things that matter the most to guys like Israel Folau is his love for Christ, his love for the gospel. And his treasures are not here. His treasures are elsewhere. And that's what makes the difference for him.
And that's boldness. And that is to be admired and emulated. And we need to hold up people like that and they're as examples of those who are believers, so that our youth can emulate them. They can follow after. We are to make disciples. And when you have a guy who has that position, who has that celebrity, and you see young people go, if he can do it, I can do it. That's great.
And that's one of the reasons why we present the heroes in our Christian discipleship curriculum, which, by the way, right now is on a gigantic sale. And so we feature books like The Hiding Place, God's Smuggler, Taking the World for Jesus, in which we outline the great martyrs who took the gospel of Jesus Christ around the world over the last 2,000 years. So much of our curriculum is based in Christian history and features some of the greatest heroes of the Christian faith over 2,000 years. Eusebius' ecclesiastical history is part of our 11th grade curriculum, Taking the World for Jesus, the 2,000-year, every continent survey of Christian missions and the brave missionaries that gave up their lives for the gospel of Jesus through these centuries. As well as The Hiding Place, God's Smuggler. We talk about David Wilkerson and some of the things that he was doing in the inner city in our new curriculum, American Faith. We talk about the greatest heroes of the Christian faith that will inspire your children to Christian service in this generation. That's what we feature. That's what we focus on in our Christian discipleship curriculum for 6th grade through 12th grade, available now at generations.org or kevinswanson.com. This is Kevin Swanson inviting you back again next time as we continue to lay down a vision for the next generation.